Kubernetes for humans.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Kubernetes for Humans podcast.
Hey, Dan, how are you? Thank you for having me on the show. Very, very excited to be here and talk about, you know, Kubernetes. I love the Kubernetes for Humans name of your podcast, and I'm looking forward to chatting more about what that means and how we all contribute to it.
Yeah, let's do it. But first, like, share a bit about yourself. Where did you come from? What do you do? When did you first like started going to computers, and then when at Kubernetes? So share a bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm happy to. So my name is Ramiro Berreyesa. I am the founder and CEO of Octeto. Octeto is a platform for managing your remote dev environments on Kubernetes. I currently live in the San Francisco Bay Area in Oakland, for those of you familiar with the area, but I'm not from here. I was born in Mexico. I grew up there all the way to school. I first got into computers in Mexico when I was little because my dad worked at a bank. And in Mexico, banks were one of the first kind of like industries to have computers. So my dad would bring me and my brother to the office every now and then. And for us, it was like the most exciting thing to go there and, you know, see this computer and, you know, type things on the keyboard and see them come up on the screen, like print out things and play with them. And I've been hooked ever since. That was the first thing. Then in high school, I started to, you know, play video games, put together my own computers back then. So then by the time I got to like college, for me, it became a very obvious choice. Hey, I want to learn more about this, going up with technology. And that's when I decided to study computer science. And I've been on this track since then. Computer science. I got my degree in Mexico. Tec de Monterrey is my school in there. Mm-hmm. And then from there, got lucky. They got recruited by Microsoft, moved to the U.S., started working in my first job out of school at the team that eventually became Azure. And that's what got me in the track of cloud services, eventually containers, and then all the way to Kubernetes.
No, that's like quite a journey. So maybe like maybe share a bit about the beginning, maybe like Microsoft. What did you do, and also what are you currently doing? Right, like let's share a bit. Yeah, I think like you have quite an interesting story. So you know, give a pointer to.
Yeah, it's been a fun journey, and it's interesting how when you look back, you know, you can see all these pieces that kind of took me into this trajectory. When I joined Microsoft, my first team for like the first few weeks was, remember, it was .NET Framework. Within the .NET Framework, there was this team called WCF, Windows Communication Foundation. Back then, we were building all the SDKs for these brand new things back then. I'm talking like 14 years ago, 15 years ago, called JSON, REST. All these things were new. So Microsoft built this team to kind of build the libraries for the .NET framework. I was a QA engineer back then. Those days, Microsoft had two different roles for engineering. One was like the test automation, which was my role. And then you had like the kind of more like the feature building. What's really cool, though, is that very soon Microsoft realized, hey, this cloud thing is growing. We don't have something there. Let's make it happen. Wow. Back then, Steve Ballmer, you know, the famous developers guy, was the CEO. And they founded this team. And then they took a bunch of teams, including mine, and said, hey, you guys seem to know about, like, you know, like APIs, networks, cloud. You start building the first version of Azure. And I landed in this team called ServiceBus, still around. ServiceBus was one of the first, was the first public service of Azure that was built entirely for the cloud. It was kind of similar to like RabbitMQ or, you know, like a queue for events, very similar to like ngRok a bit. But it was fascinating for me because I was able to kind of like do this shift from building things on, you know, for application level code, SDKs that get shipped as binaries, and then shifted to shipping services and to building globally available infrastructure, to think about availability, SLAs. And for me, it was really cool because as a test engineer, it was a massive paradigm shift. It's like, how do you test a service that millions of people are using at the same time? How do you test for availability? How do you test for backwards compatibility between, like, you know, different versions of this cloud service? So that was really cool. I had a lot of fun. And that put me on track for kind of what I've been doing ever since, which is DevOps, cloud infra services. And you know, the one thing that really maps to what I'm doing now is that back then, one of our biggest challenges was, hey, we're building things in our local machines. We're building SDKs. We're building, for those on Windows, DLLs. And then suddenly, you move to this platform that is scaled up, that has multiple nodes, that runs on the cloud. So we had that challenge of, hey, how do we move from writing code that only runs on my machine or like in a single machine to writing code that runs on the cloud? How do you replicate that locally? So fast forward 15 years. After Azure, I worked for this startup called ElasticBox, one of the first kind of DevOps startups that some of my friends started. Then I worked for Atlassian, the makers of Jira, and HipChat, and a few other things. And then now, I'm kind of back at that problem again, because the reason why we started Octero is because we saw kind of the same problems. As you move to containers, as you move to Kubernetes, you're moving away from applications that are going to be running on a single machine to these highly distributed applications. And the tooling we have for that today is not great. Like, a lot of developers have to like mimic by running things like Minikube, or like, you know, you need to make your laptop look like a cluster.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we're building is, hey, what if we flip that? And we give you the tools to make a cluster work for you as a developer. And that's what got us motivated and excited to start Octero. Is the core of what we do is remote environments on Kubernetes, but with all the tooling and all the ease of use of the local machine experience. And we've been building Octero for now almost 5 years. Great list of customers, a big community. And I'm very excited because it's clearly a problem that developers have. You know, developers want it to be easy, frictionless, but they want to be able to leverage the power of Kubernetes. And you know, that's where we are today.
Oh, that's like a super interesting story. Maybe I'll share like a last like two questions, and then we'll jump more into like the details. But you know, you are a very technical person, and then jumping right to a CEO position, which in a lot of companies, even your company is super techy, it's not like, you know, it's not the first thing that comes to mind, right? CEO and technical. So how was the transition? And, you know, maybe share a bit about like why not being a CTO, you know, for this quarter, I'm a CTO, right? So, yeah, why? Or how did
you... You know, I did not know what I was getting into, that's for sure. No, it was an interesting transition. I like it a lot now. I've learned a lot. I like the, you know, like CEO, as you said, of a very technical company. It's a really cool role for me because I still get to be very involved in technology. Like, I talk to like all of our customers are developers. So I talk to a lot to like CTOs. I talk a lot to like very technically sophisticated companies. So it's really cool that I still have that tech side on me. But it's been really interesting and fascinating to also kind of start building the skills that you need as a CEO around go-to-market strategies, sales, kind of getting a business understanding of the market and not just as a technologist. So that was really cool. In the early days, I have two co-founders, Pablo and Ramon. The three of us are engineers. So when we started the company, we just kind of figured, hey, who's going to be who, which role? And, you know, the beginning doesn't matter as much. You know, we have three founders. We're doing everything. But then when it started to matter, when you start to say, hey, we're getting into business, we're going to get like VC funding, I chose to be the CEO. And you know, my co-founder supported me because it felt like, because I'm in San Francisco, because I'm kind of like where the money is. I mean, in the early stage, it just made sense. And then, you know, I built that skill set, and then Pablo kind of became the CTO. He built more like the
highly technical, visionary. And then Ramon is leading product, so he kind of got more into like user experience, development, like the needs of our customers. Mm-hmm. So, and that's been one of my favorite things about building a company is how we have three engineers who've been engineers all their careers. And then slowly through the years, because, you know, you don't start on like day one with like 100 people in your company or 50. The three of us have grown our skills in different paths while still keeping that technical side on us, which is super helpful. So that's great. And it's something that, you know, when somebody starts a company, at least I didn't thought about these things. But now that I know more, I think it's something people should think about. Like, what does it mean to be a CEO or a startup? But, you know, learning new things is great. And, you know, if you're a bit, I'm sure you're going through the same where, like, you know, you're getting stretched, you're picking up new skills. And to me, that is part of the fun of being in an early stage startup is you get to learn a lot. I'm not gonna lie, it gets hard sometimes, but it's fun. And I found that I like it. And, you know, every day I'm learning something new and every day I'm liking it more.
No, that's great. That's great. And like, again, like a very, very interesting, like, you know, very interesting story. And like, maybe like as a second question, you know, and you said that you help like developers, right? To work basically more efficient, I will say, right? Like, or like, so a lot of the times, and we see it in our customers as well, it's not really clear who cares about it. Do you think from your customers, is it something that developers cares about? Is it something that comes from the platform team? Like, Kubernetes is hard, right? Okay, great. Now I want to simulate Kubernetes somehow, and then people find that all right. So that makes sense. But who is the one that is bringing it into the company? Is it the developer, the ops person? Share maybe a bit about that.
Yeah, that's been a very interesting evolution for us, because when we started the company, we thought, hey, developers care about this. They're going to bring us into their organizations and we're going to be successful. And developers care a lot about being productive. I think developers care because they're like, hey, I want to do my job. I'm excited to work. You know, when somebody joins your company, they're excited to join Commodore. They love the mission. They want to be productive. They want to deliver value. So they care. The challenge we saw is that, you know, at every organization, not every developer is equal. You know, the more senior kind of architect developers, they get like a more broad vision. The new developers care more about their features. So what we've seen is that this kind of tools, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on this, gets more adopted by the platform team. What we're seeing in the market is the three persons you mentioned, CTO, platform engineering team, and developers, they all care about productivity for different reasons, right? CTO cares because, you know, the CEO is giving CTO some like measurements of like, hey, we need to ship this many features. We have to like close this customer and we need this. So no, CTO cares high level KPIs, productivity, how many people can I hire? I want to get a small team that delivers a lot, you know, all those things. Then platform engineering teams are, in our experience, chartered with like this responsibility, make our teams more effective. So they care from that perspective. They want to enable, they want to make sure that people can do more with less resources. They have to keep costs down, but they want to be like, especially this new breed of platform engineers, they don't want to be like the naysayers. They want to be enablers. They want to be like, okay, you want to do X, let me build a golden path for you, that sort of thing. So what we look for when we're trying to figure out like who's the right fit for a good company to partner to use Octeto is we're looking for companies where we see this happening, where the CTO understands the value of investing on like platform efforts to make their teams more productive, where we see platform engineers who understand that they need to care about developer experience, that they need to care about enabling developers, and also where you need to have developers that are willing to take the risk of learning new tools, learning a new way of doing things. So when you find those three things in a company, that's like, hey, slam dunk, this is great. And a lot of our customers, most of them fit this profile. And that creates like wonderful partnerships because you see this very clear alignment where like everybody understands software is going to make our business do better. If we build better software, if we build it faster, it's going to be even better. And then when you find those companies, that's when you like kind of strike gold and really build this like long-term meaningful partnerships. And we've done that with many, many companies. And it's really cool, like as I talk to more companies, as we find more customers, as we talk with the community, the understanding of why it's very meaningful to invest in platforms, why it's very important to care about developer experience or development experience, you know, for everybody, developers, for PMs, for QA, for ops, for stakeholders, it matters. And more people get it. And it's very exciting. And I think that Kubernetes has been a great accelerator. It is hard, I agree. But I think because it's hard, but it's powerful, people see the value and they want tools like what Commodore's building, like what Octavio's building, to make the lives of all of these people easier so they can, you know, they don't care about Kubernetes. They care about their business. They care about shipping value. And the more our tools can help them with that, our platforms, the happier everybody is in this kind of like chain of people.
No, I think everything you say makes sense. So let me ask you something harder maybe. Like why would someone want to use you guys? Basically, what is preventing like everyone, you know, because everyone wants to move the business faster, right? Like I think, like you said, no one cares about Kubernetes. Everyone wants to like get more money and bring more values or like higher quality value to their customers faster. So what do you think is like preventing companies from adopting these? Or yeah,
I love that question. It's a question that some of our investors ask me from time to time. No, and I like it. I think something very important for all of us building products to have a clear answer, because you can't build a product for everybody. Like I think that's kind of like a fool's, I don't know if you don't, this kind of fool's errand phrase, but it's like, you're going to put so many resources. Like it's very important for platforms to be opinionated, to have a thesis. Hey, this is what we do. So our thesis is developers need realistic environments that look like production. And they should be running on the same class of infra with the same configuration or as close as possible as production. So we believe in that. So anybody who doesn't agree with that for many reasons, because maybe the applications are not complex or they're using platforms where there's no difference between your local machine and the cloud, that's okay. Octavio is not for them. We partner with companies where they have complex environments, several microservices, large teams. Like, you know, an example of someone who's done a good fit for Octavio is a company with three people, like we were at the beginning. When you're three people, we have five engineers, you don't need to invest as much on like automation and golden paths and you know, all these things. But when you have 100 engineers, like we have customers with like thousands of engineers, that's a whole different game. That's where like governance, shared configurations, you know, having everybody do the same thing and not reinvent the wheel. So those are the ones that benefit from Octavio. If you're not building things on Kubernetes, if you're using Nomad, if you're using VMs or something like Heroku, then Octavio is not necessarily a good fit for you. And you know, we're building this very specifically for those who value Kubernetes as, you know, as a container orchestrator and want to give their developers a best of class development experience on top of that. That is our where we like super hot. Or if you care, hey, I have a lot of microservices and I care about easy replicable environments, then we should talk.
Oh, that's a great, I think, like definition of who do you target and what do people really care about. So let's talk a bit about like, you know, that like you're in the industry for quite some time. What do you see is like the most interesting trend when it comes to like developer involvement inside Kubernetes, if any? Like, you know, what do you see? Well, comparing to when you started even the company to this day, did something change?
Oh yeah, a lot. Like, you know, we're in the Kubernetes ecosystem. So I of course go to like every KubeCon. I'm actually wearing my Rejects Amsterdam t-shirt. Uh-huh. A few things have changed that I like a lot. The first is more and more people care about development experience.
Mm-hmm.
When 10 years ago when Kubernetes was launched, the concerns were different. The concerns was like, how do I run a cluster? How do I keep it running? Then, you know, as years went by, the concerns evolved to like, How do I do observability? How do I do storage? How do I do security? Now, we care about the experience. People are questioning, how do I make it easier? How do I, you know, the platform during movement? How do I create golden paths? So that's fascinating to me because more and more people care, which is showing us that there's a certain maturity in our ecosystem that we're now thinking more of the end users and not trying to figure out technology. That for me is fascinating. AI, of course, is very exciting. We're seeing a lot of like investments on AI for DevOps. What Darren Schiffer is working with Chats, I think it's ChatGPT, forgot the name. But it's like this GPT for development and a mix of like infra code and there as well, what Pulumi is doing. I think all those things are very interesting. I like the trends of make tools and platforms that are easier to use, care about the experience, mm-hmm. care about self-service, and find ways to like 10x and elevate everybody. Those for me are like super exciting trends. It's what keeps me motivated every day. I love being part of that community. And, you know, I've been a developer all my life. For the longest time, dev experience was kind of like a second concern. Like, yeah, you figure it out. You go and, you know, write your make files or you kind of create your readmes, do whatever like you needed, right? But now it's becoming more and more a concern. Like I've seen companies now that they're creating the head of DevX role, DevX missions. And that's fascinating to me. It's like, yes, finally, all these things I've been doing kind of more as skunk works in my previous jobs, you know, like at night or like creating scripts and kind of like sharing them with like your close friends. The fact that now you see these companies built with that idea like ours and companies building teams and budgets for this, that to me is the most exciting trend. For me personally, it's more exciting than AI because I love the VEX. It's something I do every day. I think all day about this. I've been doing it for a long time. So it's really cool to see that, hey, more people care about this. It's not like this few of us kind of like shouting on the hills. Now it's a movement, and that's very exciting.
No, I completely agree. Like, I think that DevX is not something that did exist for like a couple of years ago, and now people are like proud to call themselves like DevX. And you know, like it's also like maybe like a nice segue, just you know, for you to mention that you guys are all in like the DevX day. So maybe like maybe say a word about that.
Yeah, and of course, thank you for that. It wasn't planned that way, but I think it just came out. So yes, I mean, tell us all about DevX, and you know, like we're building a platform, we have a product, but I also want to build a community of people who care about DevX, of all of us who are pushing the frontier, the boundaries of what DevX is. So we have this website, devxallday.com, that we're kind of starting. It's just new, like it just came out this week. So if you go to devx.com, devxallday.com, you can sign up for a newsletter. That's our first thing. We're going to be publishing interviews, articles, all about developer experience. This is not like about Octeto. This is not like a hidden vendor pitch. This is like about developer experience. If you sign up, we've actually made some really cool stickers. So first 100 signups for the newsletter, you're going to get a really cool sticker pack of like DevX all day. If you find me at KubeCon and you said, hey, I heard you and ETL were talking, we might have some swag for you. But you check it out, sign up. And it's really about building this community and helping, you know, learn from each other. I love how the cloud native community is all about building community, learning from each other. So we want to do our part, especially on the DevX angle of things. You know, we're very inspired, by the way, by the work that you and Udi are doing on platform engineering, but now we're doing it from the DevX side of things. So please check it out.
No, that sounds super awesome. And like, if someone, you know, like is in KubeCon, feel free to meet me. And say also, I'll look you up with stickers if you'll give me a reminder.
I'll get some extra for you.
let me ask like maybe like a small question because we almost ran out of time. But you're talking about DevX versus like platform. Is it the same? Is it the same person? Is it the same role? Is it like, you know, what is it? Yeah,
that's a great question. This is something I've been spending a lot of time thinking about. I don't think it's the same role.
No.
I think in some cases, because it's early, it's the same person. But the way I see this, platform engineering and DevX are two different efforts that they have a lot in common, because I think the DevEx movement and the platform engineering movement are all about making it easier for developers to do their job. I mean, removing friction. But it's a different angle. I believe that platform engineering is more around self-service, automating infrastructure, things like that. DevEx, for me, is about building this kind of like ease of understanding around like the actions to be made. You know, when you're trying to accomplish a task, make sure that you have all the information in front of you. Make sure that, you know, like things we do, for example, is, hey, with Octeto, you don't have to give every developer the credentials to like a private registry for their containers. It's fully automated. For me, it's an example of DevEx, because that means I, as a developer, don't have to think about, oh yeah, the registry, oh, the cloud account. Hey, where do I get access to a cluster? So for me, DevEx is more about that, reducing cognitive load, reducing toil, making sure people feel empowered to do the lever. While platform engineering is more around like self-service, automation. I think it's early and a lot of, there's a huge overlap between both of them, which I love. But I think as time goes by, we're going to start to see a more clear differentiation of what is platform, what is DevEx, and why do you need both? Because if you build a platform with a terrible developer experience, no one's going to use it. If you build a platform with great dev experience, with the right level of abstractions, with like clear, you know, actions to be taken, what is this good for? What is this not good for? That drives adoption. And that's something that we see a lot with our customers, where like, if the tools are not good, you know, like CTOs, like you can't force developers to use tools. You can tell, hey, I want you to use this tool. But if the tool is not good, if there's not a good dev experience, developers will find their way around it. And that's why I feel like both aspects are very important. They're emerging. Many places, the same people care about both things.
Yeah.
But we're going to see specialization as time goes by.
Okay.
I hope so. I hope so, because I would love to see more DevEx engineers, head of DevEx out there.
Oh, obviously. Any last words? I think like we did run out of time. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and if you like, let's keep this conversation going. If any of these topics resonates with you, please, you know, reach out. I'm very active on Twitter or x.com, I guess, Mastodon, LinkedIn. I'm always looking forward to talk to more people, chat about the space, chat about the challenges we all have as we build this community. And if you're having issues around your dev experience and we can help, you know, we're more than happy to chat. Again, you can reach out for us on Twitter, or we do have a special offer. If you email us at podcasts@octeto.com, we have some special deals for you all, stickers and fun things like that.
That sounds awesome. So thanks a lot. I really like enjoyed this episode, like quite a unique story, unique company. And I love how you see the industry and like the changes in the industry around empowering developers. So super cool.
Thank you, Dale. It was a lot of fun. Love the questions and looking forward to seeing you hopefully at KubeCon.
Yeah, at KubeCon Paris. Check it out.
Kubernetes for humans.